Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, you.
Hello, I'm Greg the Hammer Valentine.
And I'm not him, but one day I hope to grow into him.
I was thinking it would be quite nice to have a range of knockoff wrestlers, because they can't touch you for that, can
no, they? No, no, they really can't. No.
I was thinking of Brutros Beefcake.
Jimmy the Hurt Locker. Yeah. Mouth of the South.
Grog the Bammer. Grog Jamantine.
Grog the Bammer Jamantine.
These are just a few of the ideas we've had for t-shirts. And as you can tell, they are absolutely the nuts. Well, don't just let these remain a dream, because now you can buy things we've literally made.
Yes. Grog the Hammer. What's awful teen? Bonkle teen? I don't know. We've got some fucking t-shirts, right? And you need to buy them. Because I've bought a couple, and it can't just be me every time.
It can't.
It can't. It really can't.
It really can't. The important thing to remember from this absolute mess is that you can get brand new Wrestle Me merch.
There are
four new t-shirt designs.
Four new t-shirts.
And they are knocking it out of the park.
They are knocking it out of the park. We've got Pork and Beans. We've got a Wrestle Me one. We've got a Wrestle Me Ica Pro. Fucking what's
Alfred
his name?
Hayes
Alfred
in
Hayes
space.
In space. Alfred Hayes in space. And we got a She's Been Daughter. It's all up there. Go and download them with the world.
Buy them. You don't download.
Download them into your mailbox.
Yes.
Using the whatever postal system you have where you live.
That is it.
That works. Stackmerch.com. S-T-A-K merch.com. S-T-A-K-M-E-R-C-H.com. Woo! And we've got a look at this. The only ones that are up there are Wrestle Me Pod ones, so
I think
enjoy.
We're probably going to have a Boutros Beefcake. That will be up within the week. Is this advert professional enough? Yes, it is for Wrestle Me.
Bye-bye. Enjoy the show, bye.
Really panicked there.
Wrestle me,
Peter! you were like, hey, do you want to carry on to night two? And I'm like, I watched night two.
I watched night two. It was changeable.
Was it?
It was in the middle for me.
When I was looking at Amazon and I looked at the little bit that was giving the reviews of WrestleMania 37, I did notice they were like, well, you know, night two could not stand up to the brilliance of night one.
I was like, oh no. I didn't regard night one with much, to be honest.
Yeah, no.
I guess night one, we're going to come to it. We got a guy who's not a wrestler. We've got Belair and Banks. Fucking Miz, he's there for some bloody reason. And then night two, I mean, we're looking at The Fiend's back. Sheamus is here.
There's a little bit where they tell you what matches are coming up the next night on this one.
Right.
And the first one, they kind of go, night two, it's going to be The Fiend versus Randy Orton. And the idiots in the crowd, they cheer it. They go, yeah.
Like,
you'll get yours.
Red light. More red light.
You'll get yours. This isn't even wrestling. It's not even like panto. It's not even like amateur dramatics.
Can you remember when you first watched this a few months ago? Can you remember The Fiend a bit?
Yep. Oh yeah.
It's terrible, honestly. Stay tuned for some terrible stuff.
When it happened, I properly had that thing of just going, well, you know, I mean, I'm not surprised, but I am shocked that we're still doing this. This was a perfect, you know, example of when they really should have known when something had burnt itself out.
Yeah.
I mean,
but it didn't really burn
because
itself.
Because he was
right.
Set fire.
Oh yes.
But
Yeah.
They didn't need to bring this back.
No.
They did not need to bring it back. We've had a year of it. And when they did that, it's a waste of Randy Orton. When Alexa Bliss appeared in the thing, you're just like, oh, this is awful.
It is awful.
I've done that thing before where I've written stuff for telly shows where you've been backstage when it's being filmed and they go into a bit. And you've got three lines in a row, say, that are gags. Mm. And the first one goes out and you go, oh, that didn't get very much. And the second one goes out and you go, oh, my God, this is a bit of a disaster. Mm. And you can see the person like doing the line is sort of going, oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And they do the third one, it goes nowhere. And then that person sort of goes, oh, well, that didn't really work, did it? You know, and everyone goes, ah, awkwardly. Yeah. And you sit there and just burn. You go, oh, I feel terrible, humiliated. And if I'd have done that Fiend thing, I would have had the dignity to just run out while it was still going on and I would have cut my own head off. And I imagine writing that and watching it as it happened and the audience going, just thinking, I'm just so bad at this.
You could have run out and black liquid could have come out your face.
My black liquid.
There's nothing more evil than black liquid. We'll get to it.
Papa Shango and then the Ultimate Warrior. He did a click and then black ooze came
started
down.
Coming down, right.
And even 1992, people were like, that's bullshit. And then, like, 19 years later, we're supposed to go, now it's good.
I remember doing, I think we had about 2 minutes before we talked about the Capital Radio walls in the last show. I'm going to talk about XFM. Alex Zane does Clash of Titles with Stack. Great show. Even better man. Not in any way true, and he would agree with that. And we had to do for Shelter. We were doing some kind of charity thing, and they said, Pete, Mark, Alex, we need to do a video to be played at the big event that's going to be seen by, I don't know, 10,000 people at the Brixton Academy. It's going to be a big celebration of Christmas.
Yeah.
Can you do a video? And so I went to the shop and I bought some dark green / brown food colouring. More dark green than brown. And mixed it with like a milkshake.
It was the best thing you've ever done.
And it was me and Alex just kind of like, I was sat on Alex's knee and he was dressed as Santa.
Yeah.
And we just started puking this dark green black kind of fluid at each other.
It was amazing.
That was more subversive. And every time you went in the disabled accessible toilet after that, you were like, that's not coming off.
You looked like a horrible little boy puppet.
Yes.
And Alex looked really ill and sick.
Yes. Because he was really ill and sick.
Imagine when XFM had to take that back to Shelter and go, this is what we've done. Can we have the money, please?
It's the mania of doing, and it's like this: we sit in a room and we're silly, and we have a fun time sometimes, almost all the time, and we get giddy, we get excited, and when we take that out of the room,
yes,
and we've got to deal with people who aren't privy to the mania, aren't privy to the excitement, aren't privy to watching it ramp up, it's problematic. And to your credit, Mark, you managed to sell a lot of cans of fucking bird blood. So I would say,
yeah.
Sometimes it's a hit.
In a weird way, the bird blood, you're saying you have to get involved with it. Whereas this, they're like, this is for everyone, and you go, don't want it. Do you know what it reminded me of? U2's album when that got downloaded into everyone's iPod.
Yeah,
you
great
can't
idea.
Stop it.
Great idea until the cork runs out.
And this is exactly that you just go, everyone gets this and it's good for everyone. It's not.
Yes.
It's rubbish.
Oh, Mark. Before we get into the actual WrestleMania, I've just realised we've not mentioned the fact that we have merch
shit!
Now.
Shit!
Proper, like,
no longer limited runs.
No longer limited runs. No longer Mark has to fucking dick about with a load of boxes in his house.
Hundreds
he can't
of boxes.
Afford that now.
Hundreds
He's got to move house. He's got to make the house look presentable. He can't have boxes of
the
t-shirts all over the place.
I got the posters. And the posters, they're pretty small. They fit in one box.
Okay.
The tubes that you
the
need.
The tubes you need to send
the posters.
Them, Mark.
They come in great big boxes.
Mark.
Wardrobe
but we
size.
Have... merch. We have merch you can buy. We have 4 t-shirt designs.
Amazing.
One of those t-shirt designs can go on a little flask or a little iPhone or Samsung Galaxy little cover sort of thing. And I'm getting one of them myself.
You've
to be
done
honest.
The designs on these, and I think they are absolutely phenomenal.
I've changed the designs on some.
Yeah.
I've modified some of the designs that you already got. So we've got a Wrestle Me straight up t-shirt that you can buy. That's kind of makes it look like you're wearing the logo around your neck, like a real cool dude. and I looked at that and went, that's the one I'm going to be wearing. That's something for me and my bros. So there's a Wrestle Me one. There's a Pock and Beans one and Beans. You've not been able to buy for like fucking 2 years
you've
or something like that.
You tweaked the design as well. I think made it better. I think made it better. Right, okay. Yeah.
Well, we just need to change it a little bit just to keep it up to date. But we've got a Pock and Beans one. We've got a one that your fantastic pal on the internet drew. That is right.
Hey Kids Rock and Roll. Yeah. Excellent. Print Lord Alfred in Space.
Yes. Lord Alfred in Space based on the original poster created by
Superstar Billy Graham. Superstar Billy Graham. It's really good.
Almost ruined him.
And my favourite one, which is just a simple one. It doesn't even say anything about wrestling on it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't... It just says on it.
It's a little thing that says you've been listening for a while.
Yeah.
You know what this is.
Yeah.
And you...
You'd see someone wearing it and you'd go, you're one of the guys. We won't even say what it is. You have to go look at it. But you'll see it and you'll just go, oh, that's good. That's really good.
Well, let's say it anyway because this is a plug.
Okay. Fair enough.
Plug, Mark. She's Been Daughter. We've got a t-shirt that says, She's Been Daughter.
Yes.
You can have that on your chest. People go, She's Been Daughter. What does that mean? That's not too sexual that you wouldn't wear it on your chest.
Nope.
But you'd be like, what's that mean? You go, well, let me tell you a little story.
To wrestling, one person will come up to you and they'll go, what does that mean? You have to go, have you heard of Wrestle Me? And they'll go, don't like it.
Most wrestling fans would know She's Been Daughter.
She's Been Daughter. Yeah, it's taken, I would say, 2.5 years for that one to come to fruition.
Yeah.
Which is not bad going, considering it's like 9 letters. But yeah, you've done a great
check it
job
out.
There.
So you can get the merch from stackmerch.com. S-T-A-K merch.com. It's as simple and as unalloyed as that. S-T-A-K-M-E-R-C-H.com. Go and get it, and it'll never run out.
They are so good.
Yeah, and so. Mark doesn't have to post them. And I'm like, Mark, we need to find a way for people who don't live in London, who haven't been to the shows, who can't, you know, access the certain services that we've done before, to get hold of it.
That is true. But we've been so kind, Pete, by not going, oh, here's all the old shirts. You know?
Yes.
Oh, remember your precious shirt that you were so pleased to get? Actually, there's a million of them now.
Right.
No.
Okay. New shirts.
No, we might do it. Might tweak them.
might tweak them.
I mean, it's not a charity, is it?
No.
It's not a shelter. let's get to the last two matches of WrestleMania 37 Night 1.
Yes.
Bad Bunny and Damian Priest versus The Miz and Morrison. I have put the best of the wrestlers first in that list. Before we get to the match, out comes Booker T. He's going to be the guest commentator. Bad Bunny had a hit single that was called Booker T.
Yes.
Really good, weird, stripped down, spooky, sort of hip hoppy, strange, clicky clacky.
Let's not try and. I couldn't possibly categorize any of that music because I would sound 150 years old.
Loved it. The first time I heard it, I was like, this isn't music. Second time I heard it, this is great music. That is what I need.
Did you see the video, though?
Yes.
Where it's just Booker T.
As G.I. Bro.
In G.I. Bro.
Yep.
Sort of arms folded and Bad Bunny just wraps around him. And it's only at the end that they become friends.
Yeah.
You wrap around Booker T enough, he'll become your friend.
They did a live performance at the Royal Rumble. That show, so a couple of months before this. And Booker T just came out with his arms folded, but they didn't show him coming out. And so it looked like it was just a statue, like a waxwork they put in.
Yeah.
And he didn't move at all.
Yeah.
Watching it, I was like mesmerised, but going, does he move? What is the, you know, is that the real Booker T, or is that just a sort of like statue they take around?
Take like a Valium or something.
How weird is it that you're Booker T? And there's a guy who is, he's a Grammy winner. He has got, you know, 8.9 billion streams on Spotify. He is like the hottest performer of his era. And it's like, there's a song about you.
Yeah. And you've done nothing to court that, I suppose.
No. That would just be absolutely the fucking business, wouldn't it?
I don't need to stay relevant.
No.
We got this guy rapping about me.
If there's like a classic song about you, you would always have a career.
Yeah.
You would always have an income stream.
Yeah.
And I think Booker T must look at that and just go, that was lucky. Thank God he didn't do Hacksaw Duggan, you know. That would have been... But a strange one to do, Booker T.
Yeah.
Look, we'll get to Bad Bunny as he Bad Bunnies it up.
Yeah.
But outcome... a load of bunny rabbits to start this off.
I was expecting this whole thing to be a bit of a shit tip because the bunnies come on.
And having to hold the heads on.
Yeah, hold the heads on, and half of them, I don't know if you noticed, lost their ears. There are so many, like in the performance when they bounce in.
All coming off.
they all come off. Like, there was when like they, three bouncing off their heads.
When they came in holding yeah. it, I was like, I would pay money to see the rehearsal
yeah.
where they realised they all had to hold on to them.
Yes.
With and, all these men just jumping and the things
some,
coming
and
off.
And some of the, like, the Velcro's not tied at the back. It's a real shit show, Mark.
Really poor.
Yeah.
This is not because of Bad Bunny. So this is the entrance for Miz and Morrison.
Yes.
As part of the build to this show,
Morrison's had a blowout on his hair. He's just like, he's got this weird kind
really
of,
sort of like
voluminous hair.
Slightly like Mickey James when she was sort of like, you know, in funny periods where she didn't really try very hard with the hair, which just turned up. It's very sort of frizzy and dry.
Yes, yeah.
They have recorded their own mocking song called Hey Hey Hop Hop.
Yes.
This almost never works, where you get wrestlers to become musical performers.
Yes.
The reason for this, I think, you know, there are many reasons. One, wrestlers can't sing. Mm. Two, wrestlers aren't very good with rhythm. Three, and fans don't like it.
Fans don't like it. It's not very authentic. It just seems like...
Plus, if they're writing it between January and March
yeah.
and then recording it as well, yeah. that seems like a short turnaround time for any song that's going to be good.
Yeah, you can't even brief the pluggers for that.
No, you'll have brought someone in as well to say, can you write this song?
Yeah.
And they'll have gone, well, you know, oh Christ, you know, that much time. And they'll just go, well, just what you can do. And so you end up with Hey Hey Hop Hop. They come out, Miz and Morrison, and they are singing it live over the pre-recorded version.
Now, I've got a problem with this whole setup, to be honest. The whole of this kind of WrestleMania 37, I've got a real issue with, because nobody, and I mean nobody, can mix this fucking thing properly.
No.
Because they're in a situation where I can't hear them rapping. They're yep. rapping over their own voices anyway, yeah. so it's kind of...
Oh, it's a disaster.
You don't really need to do it anyway. It's yeah. weird.
It's what we call the Michael Hayes problem, which is when the Freebirds have done this a couple of times in WCW,
yeah.
they would play the new song and they go, Michael, you're going to come out and sing it,
yeah.
resell it.
Yeah.
And he'd never have an earpiece in.
Yeah.
He'd just so be trying to listen
know.
To it in
yeah.
the stadium.
And you may be listening to something that went out 2 seconds ago, because the
and
stadium's
he would be.
Big.
And so you'd get him singing it a second before or after what had gone out.
Yeah.
And it would just be chaos and just a mess. And this is exactly that. An absolute fucking mess. There's like an unlistenable echo effect. It's really, really amateur.
Yeah.
When they actually do hit it, you just go, and they're also really flat and they can't really do this. So they go, hey, hey, oh, oh. And it's credit to you. If someone said to me, you've got to sing this song, you know, in front of 50,000 people and it would go across the world.
Yeah.
I would probably go, do you know what? I'm going to make sure this is all right. I'm going to spend more than an hour doing this, because otherwise I'm going to look like a dick and it's going to be terrible. And it's credit to Ms. Morrison, who's just like, oh, well, what the fuck? What does it
yeah,
matter?
It's not the worst thing Ms. will do.
No.
Surely. Good God.
Out comes, at this point, I can't even remember if Damien Priest is out first, because I am no longer interested in anyone else in this match. out comes the insanely big star, Bad Bunny. When WWE first sort of said, we're going to be working with Bad Bunny is not, if you like, a mainstream star to the average age of the person who watches Raw.
Yeah, like, isn't it? Yeah.
Which is normally in their 60s.
Mm.
You know, it's a really old skewing show, the whole of WWE programming. And so Bad Bunny, I've never heard of him. Mm. You know, who is this guy? It was entirely the right decision, but up to this point, people were just like, why are they doing this hot-shotting with these people we've never heard
yeah.
of? He has 8.3 billion downloads on Spotify. He has a Grammy. He's hosted Saturday Night Live, which he did with the 24/7 belt. He had the first Spanish language album to go to number one on the Billboard chart.
Mm.
So he is legitimately a huge star.
And you get that nowadays. You get these kind of guys who are either social media guys
yeah.
or gals, or they are gigantic recording artists. And I've never fucking heard them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, like, the music isn't something I
fractured
to
sort
be.
Of niche. You know,
yeah.
there is no longer that thing of Top of the Pops on Thursday, and everyone
yeah.
sits and watches it, and you go, yeah. oh, they look like boys, or they look like girls,
or
whatever.
They find
they
their audience
up?
Very easily,
yeah.
because they can.
Yeah, and you don't need to know them because you're old.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it's not for you.
Yeah.
We also know that Bad Bunny is not big physically. It's not like having someone like Ice-T take part, where you go, oh, he's big, or Dennis Rodman, one of those stars from
yes,
you know, the 90s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He is slender. Mm. He is quite short. He's got very defined cheekbones, so quite a thin face. We've seen him do a crossbody at the Rumble, so we know he can do that. We've seen him win the 24/7 belt, but that's a big joke thing. We've seen him in one of those clips slap Miz much, much too hard. Really much too hard. And we've seen him being hit with a guitar. Can he wrestle? And that's really I suppose with celebrities, that question doesn't matter particularly. Mm. It's just, can they do justice to what they're doing here? And can he wrestle? Yes, because Bad Bunny is the best male performer at this WrestleMania. He is the only South American star who Vince McMahon has not buried. He's the only one he's let get over. And he is so, so good.
He's really good in this.
Unbelievable.
And, and obviously he's a big wrestling fan, but to be a wrestling fan and to not like mess it all up is incredible.
He was talking to the magazine Allure, and he was talking about his fandom when he was growing up. Mm. And he said, I had the Lucha Libre figures, but I also had my own character for when my brother and I wrestled on our parents' bed. I had my entrance music and outfit, a jacket that I took from my dad, and underwear we painted and decorated. We'd play that for hours. Truly, wrestling has influenced me a lot, and I've applied that to my career, the style, the importance of having a trademark move or phrase or look, and always remembering the element of surprise. In wrestling, the fans love getting caught off guard, and I like to create that same emotion with my music. I totally relate to that. I think, you know, wrestling is one of those things that, certainly for me, when we were on radio, again, boring mention of XFM, but I used to use wrestling phrases in some of the quizzes that we did, and nobody knew what they were because nobody watched wrestling. Mm. I would often say I was Space Mountain. That was the thing we did in the quiz.
That's right, yeah,
I used to use some Booker T things as well. Five time, I'd often say that. You know. And that is the nice thing about wrestling, is a great showman sport. And you can watch wrestling and take things out. And he has. And I'm surprised that more people haven't gone, oh, I learned that from wrestling. Mm. I understood like presentation in front of a big crowd about how to get over. I use this a lot when I do a podcast about Strictly Come Dancing called The Curse of Strictly. Mm. And I find myself using wrestling terminology all the time, which doesn't have any like parallel in normal English. Mm. So I talk about people getting over. And really what it is, it's about getting over, you know, all of it. It's just, why doesn't that phrase exist for everything else?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah.
Get yourself over. And it's, I find it really sort of exciting that he kind of doesn't just go, well, yes, you know, wrestling, it's all about showmanship and stuff. He's like, I took wrestling to become the huge star I am. Mm. That was the thing that taught me. And that, I mean, Jesus Christ, the guy, if he'd have stopped there, you were like, he's a huge star. And you know what? He loves wrestling.
Yeah.
And he just really talks about it sensibly and you know, emotionally. That would be good enough. He comes in and he's the biggest star of the last 5 years. You know, he teams up with Damian Priest. Damian Priest had been in Ring of Honor as a guy called Punishment Martinez. Mm. Tall guy. We saw him wrestle in Crystal Palace.
Oh, did we? Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Many, many years ago.
Right.
And he wouldn't have made much of an impression on either of us. He went to NXT, where they made him the Archer of Infamy. No idea what that means. Damian Priest. He, I believe, does do archery. But I'm very against other sports being brought in as your wrestling character.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Why are you
so
into archery if you're a wrestler?
Well, his figure...
Be really into wrestling.
Well, Damian Priest's figurine on the WWE website just has a big cummerbund. What's that about? It's just a big white cummerbund.
Maybe that's a bandage.
Right.
Yeah.
It looks like a cummerbund to me.
I have to wear it because I jacked off 15 times in a day. What's this? Yeah. You're horrible.
I call myself a priest because they don't like that.
But like a priest, I don't touch it. I simply stare at it and will it to happen. Oh. No, that's made up. He was the guy chosen to be with Bad Bunny because Damian Priest has Puerto Rican heritage as well.
Right.
So there was a sense of connecting someone who could have been an up-and-comer, always worth a try, with what was going to be the big star.
Yeah.
When you saw the pictures in the papers the next day, they were very much Bad Bunny and Damian Priest.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what the WWE are getting out of this. They're paying Bad Bunny a lot of money. They will get a lot of PR. But they can also try and push someone like Damian Priest. Did it work? Hard to say. Mm. But it's certainly not a disaster. What is funny is they were originally talking about this match just being Bad Bunny versus The Miz.
Yeah.
And they sort of went, well, do you know what? We probably need someone in there who can, you know, just obviously is a pro.
Yeah.
We don't want to put that pressure on him. They 100% could have just done that match. The amazing thing about this match is how little time Damian Priest spends in the ring.
Yeah.
He has a night off on the biggest night of his career.
That's the thing. That's what you assume is going to happen, that he's going to spend... No, he's in the ring.
He's barely in it. Out he comes, Bad Bunny. His entrance is on the top of a truck. It sort of felt like it was a bit left over from Becky Lynch last year. Although I also sort of thought, that's just one of their production trucks.
Yeah.
That's a bit cheap.
Well, I guess you've got to fix the rigging to the top, haven't you? Keep him up.
I was watching it and I was like, is it glamorous to be riding on top of a truck?
You've got to be doing it at speed. You can't do it slowly.
No.
And you're not allowed in the fast lane, are you?
But I sort of looked at it and I was like, A, the police would stop you and go, you can't do that.
You can't do that, yes. And
what if the driver just sort of went, I didn't know he was up there.
Yeah.
You'd be in a lot of trouble.
You won't put me away, copper. No. What's in the back then? I don't know.
Wouldn't it be better if he was, this isn't as spectacular, but if he was in the front seat, that seems more
where
you'd go for if you were driving in a truck.
Yeah, and or in the middle seat.
Yeah.
but there's an empty seat next to it. Yeah, and the driver on the right.
Oh, that is good. Imagine being the first person who gets to do that. No one's ever done that before, and it's gorgeous. He has a vague look of a teenage Peter Sutcliffe about him.
I felt. Okay, yeah.
This is a dream match. So Miz is the perfect person for this role because he is a wrestler that no one thinks is hard. He is a wrestler that people enjoy seeing get beaten up. And he is a wrestler that people want to lose in the most humiliating way possible. So it really, really works. It starts off with Bad Bunny comes in. He hits Miz twice with a closed fist. Mm. Referee should have DQ'd him. He should have just gone, that is it. I'm glad he didn't, but he should have done. It was wrong to keep this going on. Morrison tags in, and that, of course, is the moment where you get Damian Priest in. No. Bunny just continues on, continues to dominate. Absolutely. He gets hit, and he does some selling, and he's really good at selling.
Oh, the selling's really good, yeah.
Long-limbed.
Yeah.
Thin, scrawny sort of body, and he really flaps around like a fish, and he does it brilliantly.
Yeah.
That is a real surprise how good he is. He does all that selling, and rather than make the hot tag, he then fires back up. And he just carries on. He does about the first 10 minutes and he tags out. Within moments of Damian Priest coming in, the crowd are silent.
Yeah.
They are like, well, this is, you know, we're back to something less exciting.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more. And join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, I'm Hazel Hayes.
And I'm Shane Todd.
And welcome to our brand new podcast, We're Not Fucking Historians. It sounds like I'm saying we're not fucking historians.
Yeah, we're saying we're not experts.
We're not historians ourselves. Not that we're not having sex with historians.
No historians getting fucked on this pod.
Zero historians getting fucked on this podcast. We are, in fact, your alternative guide to Irish history.
Every week we prize open the history books and find a new tale from the Emerald Isle's colourful past. We're exploring Ireland's traditions, its rich heritage and its long, proud history of being invaded by literally anyone with a boat. The Vikings were showing up at the monastery going, where's that booty?
The earliest booty call.
It's the booty call you didn't want. 50 Scandinavian Vikings showed up.
Or our biggest celeb, St. Paddy. He says he prayed up to 100 times a day and sometimes during the night.
That's what a 5-year-old would say. I prayed 100 times, I swear. Patrick also said he was fastest in his slippers. He's a fucking Billy Bullshitter.
If, like us, you're the kind of person who's interested in history, but not so interested that you'd go read a book about it or listen to actual experts, then this is the show for you.
This is history done differently, with a couple of facts and plenty of crack.
So, join us on our journey through Ireland's past.
Search We're Not Fucking Historians on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And remember,
We're not fucking historians. Sorry, I was far too fast there.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production
and part of the Acast Creator Network.
So then Bad Bunny just tugs straight back in. I mean, the crowd, if you like Bad Bunny, you really get your money's worth with this match.
Yeah, you really do.
It's astonishing. He then does a crossbody to the outside. He times the breaking up of a pin on Damien Priest to perfection.
Yeah.
It's just brilliant. It's so unexpected because the timing is so good. You kind of go, oh, he's not going to. Oh, he has. Wonderful. He then hits a Canadian destroyer. Pile driver, which is like a sort of somersault pile driver,
right? Yeah,
onto Morrison on the outside of the ring. Amazing bit of Michael Cole just going, "What is that?"
he just goes,
"I don't even know what that is." And it's like, mate, it's been used for about 10 years, and everyone in AEW uses it, and you see it a lot in the indies.
And the next night, Cole gets something wrong, uh-huh. And he says, "That's the so-so-so-so," and then somebody else, it might even be JBL or something, jumps in and goes, "To save you any problems online, it's this." And he goes, well, I had enough of that last night. So that it must be what they were talking about. Him totally. Going, I don't know what that is.
It's a bit like if you were a commentator in the 80s, you see a power bomb and you just go, I don't know what that is. That's sensational. Amazing. No one expects Michael Cole to be watching indie wrestling. You know, once you get into WWE, that is your job. You don't have time and you don't really like wrestling anymore. That's fine. But it is funny when you see a move that everybody watching would basically know the name of.
Yeah.
And then the guy who's commentating is just like, what is that? Bunny does a crossbody onto Miz off the top rope and he pins him. And it is a sensational debut. Yeah. Damien Priest runs in, starts hugging him, and that is very much to go, let me be in the photo.
Yes.
Let me be in the photo with the golden boy. Just when you picture how your WrestleMania debut will go.
That's very much how it'll go. Like in your brain.
The perfect dream.
Yeah.
The perfect dream.
Yeah.
Do you know who else thought it was a perfect dream?
Who?
Bad Bunny.
Bad Bunny, right.
He said, it was like I died and went to heaven. He said, I've never sat to watch a recording of one of my concerts, never. But my wrestling fight, I've watched it 100 times. For like a week, I would go to bed watching it.
Oh, Bad Bunny.
Just
isn't he adorable?
Best. There's been talk internally. They've said we'd really like him to return next year. Mm. He did such good press for WWE. Mm. It's the first person they've had who I think didn't feel in any way stale or of the moment or slightly off the boil. He came along and everyone was like, who is Bad Bunny?
Yeah.
And they were ahead of the curve with that. And whoever booked Bad Bunny, I sincerely hope that they also feel like they died and went to heaven, because it was just amazing. the level, I mean, there is no one, with the exception of Snooki, but that is also about the bigness of her heart and love of wrestling.
Yeah.
There is no one, no celebrity who has ever come in and put on a performance anything like that. There is no argument that Bad Bunny is the greatest, not just celebrity wrestler of all time. I think he's in the top five wrestlers of all time. Your debut match. I bet Omos was really like, I had my debut match at WrestleMania. And everyone's like, didn't someone else? Shit.
Have you kind of, speaking of like wrestling dreams, have you had, I had a wrestling, my very first wrestling dream.
Nice. What happened?
Quite recently. It was basically, we'd been invited to do some training with some WWE kind of people, right? Mm-hmm. And for whatever fucking reason, I think it was because when they had Money in the Bank and they went up in the lift or whatever, yeah. And outside the lift,
now
they had
that
half... Now
you've seen the building, it's filled it in
It was kind of like half, it was like a half ring. So it still had the ropes and stuff. Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to having a bend on the rope because I've heard they really hurt. And I was like, oh, I really want to like see how hard like the ropes are. Mm. And then we sort of went up and down that. And it went like surprisingly well. Some of like the pros were happy with how we'd gone. And then, because I'm going to edit this out.
Redacted.
Don't know why. I don't know why that's how the dream ended.
I mean, that would be a dream.
That would be a dream.
What a wonderful dream.
It'd be very
dream.
Predictable. Kind of like, I could probably figure out what happened. But,
oh, that's good. I really thought we were both going to get bummed to death. So I was not pleased that that's how it's worked out. Oh, amazing. There is, talking about the ropes being strong.
Yeah.
There is a bit where Bad Bunny is thrown. They want him to go through the ropes. Yeah. And he goes face first into one of the ropes. And for the first time you go, oh yeah, it's just a steel cable. And he really stops him.
It's horrible.
Yeah, that really is like brutal. That's one of those moves as well that, I mean, it cost the life of a Mexican wrestler, Paris Del Mal, in a match with Rey Mysterio.
Yes, yeah.
I forget the guy's name. Isn't that terrible? Paraguayo Jr., possibly. I might be wrong about that. But he hit his face in exactly the same way. Mm. A slide through the ropes, caught it, and it just broke his neck. And when that happens with Bad Bunny, the commentators are very much like, oh, Jesus!
Yeah, that would have been...
Imagine if they'd killed him.
Killed Bad Bunny.
What? I mean...
After what a debut.
Would the WWE have to shut down if you've killed like the biggest music star?
Yeah, and he didn't have to be there. You know what I mean? It wasn't one of your employees.
And you'd go, well, it was his decision. You were like, Miz definitely threw him into that rope. Oh, no.
Oh, Lordy.
Right, well, let's go to the main event. Mm. It is the SmackDown champion, the SmackDown Women's Champion, Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair. Pete, WrestleMania main event, making history.
Day one. That's the annoying thing. It's like if this was just normal kind of WrestleMania with just one big day, I just think it would be more of a thing. But because it's 2 days, I'm like...
They would never have got to main event WrestleMania. Mm. And that to me is almost like that's why it's worth having the 2 days. So that Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair can say, we main evented WrestleMania. And WWE get a lot of traction for it because they are going...
But they don't actually have to put their money...
No, not at all. I mean, Jesus... Wow. The two of them, Pete. Unbelievable. Mm. My whiskey's kicking in. I'm aware that, you know, it sounded maybe 3 weeks ago we were like, are we having a drink?
Yes. We're not doing it 3 weeks. It's the same day.
It's the same day. Bianca Belair, she won the Royal Rumble. She looked really, really good in doing it. And this is such decent, basic booking. Mm. I'm the best. I want your title. No, you're not the best. I'm the best, and I have been for ages. I can't do Sasha Banks.
This is Michael Caine.
Yeah, it's the easiest one. I'm the boss. You're not the boss of me. Great. Belair looks, and most importantly, moves like a star.
She's like, because the hair is almost another character.
Yeah.
It's so like Street Fighter 2. The way she flips, the way that the hair almost makes the shape, makes her longer. You know what I mean? It makes her more like a kind of... It's amazing.
It stops her being an ordinary human.
Yes.
She is a superstar because there's something about her that you go, she is not like someone I see.
Yeah.
She is a superhero.
And she's a wonderful talker. She goes from...
so good.
Bawling her eyes out at the start to fucking kicking ass. It's amazing.
She really does. And now, there's an annoying thing when she comes in and she's doing her an amazing sort of... like she's dancing and just like having... just like... confidence.
Yeah.
Amazing. There's a really annoying thing where I don't know why they still do this, but someone is holding up their camera phone. Of course they are. That's what people do at wrestling. Yeah. And for some reason they're like, cut to the camera that's trying to film what's on the camera screen that we can. I'm watching television.
Yeah.
Show me what
that.
It is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't go, wow, that guy's got a video camera on his phone. I've got a video. My mum's got a video camera on her phone. Oh, she doesn't know how to use it. But I cannot understand the fascination with going, look at these people trying to film it.
But it's that kind of...
Film
as
it
soon
for
as,
me.
As soon as something happens, it's like they sort of say hashtag, and they invent a hashtag for it almost immediately. And you're like, that's not how this works.
No.
I don't care about the citizen journalism that's taking place in the fucking, in the bleachers. I don't care.
I'm not going to look at that and go, well, I want to see that on YouTube.
Yeah,
because
exactly, yeah.
I could have the, what, £8 million worth of cameras that are there doing that job for me.
Yeah.
But they're too busy trying to go, let's try and get through his Samsung.
You wouldn't see the shitty augmented reality, though. That,
no.
That there is scant consolation.
She is represented by lips and that big braid.
Mm.
They call it in America. I would still call that a ponytail, but maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, big plait, innit?
Big plait.
It is
a big plait.
It's a big plait.
It is a big plait, but they call it a braid. When Sasha Banks comes in as well, she looks like what we thought women in 2021 would look like in 1983. Yeah. Lime green hair and black latex bikini bottoms and fighting another woman in an arena. It was, you know, she looks, I mean, again, unlike anyone that you will ever see in your normal day-to-day life.
Mm.
That is the epitome of what a superstar is. You know, someone like, for example, John Morrison.
Mm.
If I want to see a guy like that, I just take my top off in my in my upstairs bathroom. But they look like future people. They look like something else. They are superheroes on a different level to everyone else,
yeah.
And it makes it feel proper and special.
Mm.
The roar that they get when the ring announcer says the next match is for the women's championship.
Mm.
The two of them, I mean, Bianca Belair, as you say, her eyes just fill up with tears.
Mm.
But Sasha Banks can't stop smiling.
Yeah.
She's been in a similar situation before. She's been in big matches. Mm. Nothing quite like this.
Mm.
She probably, you know, should have been in one of the women's matches the previous year.
Mm.
It seemed like an oversight, although I can't remember whether she was injured or not. But this is a big moment for her. But and she actually manages to keep it together until the end.
Mm.
And what you don't see in the actual WrestleMania is as soon as the match was over, she was lying there crying and crying and crying on the floor.
Yeah.
And this means a lot to them. The reason is, as the bell goes, the two of them are just like, holy shit, we are main eventing WrestleMania.
And they cover themselves in so much credit and the sport in so much credit. It's so good.
They do. And the two of them are products of WWE. The previous year, we've seen Becky Lynch, who was well-travelled, Ronda Rousey, who came from UFC, and Charlotte Flair, who to some degree was always sort of aware she was going to have this career in the business.
Mm.
If you know, Bianca Belair has been around for about 4 years. Sasha Banks has been around for longer, but she started in NXT. And at the time, nobody saw Sasha Banks and sort of went, clearly going to headline WrestleMania one day. She became incredibly good over the years. The fact that the two of them are here is just, this is, if you like, they didn't need a Rousey. They are homegrown products who are now headlining WrestleMania. That is thrilling for them.
Mm.
They have the little line where they just, I think Michael Cole says, two black women in a title match in the main event of WrestleMania. Tonight's main event is brought to you by Snickers. Snickers satisfies.
Oh,
and
no.
It's, I mean, just mark, don't put an advertorial. I have a dream.
Snickers don't want
that. The dream is that I will be satisfied by our sponsors tonight, Snickers. It's such a big moment and it does undercut it massively.
Yeah.
But that's what this is about. It is two black women in a title match in the main event of WrestleMania.
Sponsored by Snickers.
Snickers.
Yeah. That's what we're all here to see.
That is the thing, isn't it? The Snickers are like, we definitely want to be mentioned in the main event.
They wouldn't want it. They wouldn't want it. But Belair in particular, because I've not seen as much of Belair. I've seen quite a lot of Sasha Banks. But like, she's so bloody strong. She doesn't require anyone to work with her.
No.
Like, she just picks someone up if they want. They don't have to shift their weight in
really
one way.
Really early on, she gorilla presses Sasha Banks and just walks up the ring step.
Yes.
What's brilliant about that is you'd sort of go, that was something like the Ultimate Warrior or Hercules might have been able to do. Now you're seeing this woman who looks like a model lifting another woman and just walking. I mean, just amazing.
She's incredible.
The ability of Bianca Belair for her athletic manoeuvres, you know, 450 splashes, the sort of thing that even 10 years ago would have been the most exciting thing on the Indies.
Mm.
And she can do it all.
Yeah.
And she does it in a way that it makes sense. It's not just high spots. They tell such a good story. Sasha Banks, I've always felt, even though everyone's like, she's such a great performer, I think she's underrated. Mm. She is so good at selling and she is so good at offence that it's an odd thing when you look at her and you go, she is like a slender child.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
She shouldn't be as good as she is. She shouldn't be as impactful. She shouldn't be as good at wrestling. She shouldn't be as good at the drama.
Mm.
But she is.
Yeah.
Because she's a unique once in a lifetime performer. And, you know, she is so good on this. They fight aggressively, the two of them, in this as well. I love it when people look like they're trying to win. Don't give me that thing of wrestling is choreographed and we've just got to get through to the end. Make everything look like you are fighting to beat your opponent. Mm. And they do that so well here.
Mm.
Banks does great offense. She crumples as well when she gets knocked about.
Mm.
Just really like everything is devastating. There is a suplex spot that Bianca Belair holds her up in a suplex. And Banks tries to fight out of it. She begins kneeing her on the head. And then Bianca Belair will put her back in the suplex and Banks will be going for her eyes. But in the end, Belair still manages to get her over. And it's just that thing of, that's it, fight and kick and scratch at every moment.
Yeah.
So many other people would have done that thing of just going, well, I know I'm doing the suplex, I'll just wait here.
Yeah.
You know, here we go, and it'll happen.
Mm.
But they just put in that extra stuff that makes it real. She then does a 450 splash and lands on Sasha Banks' knees. Whenever someone does a 450 splash and lands on the knees, they don't really land on the knees.
But
in here, she really does. Yes, she really does.
I was like, what part of the body is hitting her? My God.
Yeah.
How is she not...
That must just be adrenaline, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. We're watching like WrestleMania 19 when Brock Lesnar does a shooting star press and lands on his top of his bonce and almost breaks his neck. That is just that thing of going, it's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, do it
do
now.
Do it here, yeah.
There's a double powerbomb that Bianca Belair does, and Banks that kicks out at two. She doesn't kick out at two. They do a powerbomb. She's down for about five or six, and the referee just sort of goes, better stop at two. Like that.
Yeah.
And it's a really odd one because she just can't get out of the position she's in. But I'm glad it didn't end there.
Yeah.
But it definitely did. there is a very, very unforgiving camera angle on that, and they notably do not show it as a replay.
Right.
Even though it's got Belair being incredibly strong and hoiking her off the floor, you know, twice, they are like, do not touch that one.
Do not touch that one, right.
They use Bianca Belair's braid in this. So Sasha Banks grabs it and she puts the bank statement, which is her submission move, on with it. There is a good roll through by Belair where she's fighting out of it. And they make it, it's so fast, this match.
Mm.
So constant. And they just look like they're fighting to win. It's so exciting. And then you get the last end segment.
just that fucking noise, Mark.
Like a starting pistol, is it? Just amazing.
How did they manage to do that?
I think the answer to that is they just did it.
Yeah.
Bianca Belair uses her hair like a bullwhip across Sasha Banks' sort of middle.
Yeah.
It's like a banger going off.
And there's an and in there as well. There's something making that noise and it's not just a bit of hair.
It was.
Wow.
Insane. If you ever get a belt, you know, and you get the two bits and you do the middle. That is astonishing.
Wow.
I think she welts up almost immediately.
Right.
And then you go, right, that doesn't seem like it's real. Just amazing.
They put something in it. It was wonderfully done.
Brilliant. Not overused.
No.
She didn't do it nine times.
No.
She just did it once, and that sets up her finishing move. The KOD hits it, and she does a brilliant cover, which is that thing of when everything, all the excitement bubbles up. So she's pinning her, but she's already scrabbling around the floor just out of sheer, that is over.
Mm.
It went well. I have done it. And now I'm going to get that moment where I get to stand up with the belt and the fireworks go off and this is incredible. Michael Cole suddenly just says, I thought Sasha kicked out. What are you doing, man? I went back and looked at it. She doesn't make it. She doesn't. She lies there.
No.
Takes the pin. She doesn't move
at all.
Didn't
need to be part of that, Michael.
Why are you suddenly going, you know, oh, she definitely kicked it out of 2.5.
And they are notable by their fucking peace and quiet during the fucking Fiend, which could have done with some explanations. When the weird stuff happens, could have done with some explanation.
They've got that.
Yeah, didn't need more.
No, didn't need more. Didn't need new angles putting in.
No.
Michael Cole coming back.
I think
and
she's
going,
got a gun.
Yeah. I've set three. I've done a big thing about her leg being a plaster. What? Why is her leg plaster? I thought you could use it. No, you're not being helpful. Sasha Banks, I saw her backstage. She was just eating like handfuls of worms, like the boogeyman, just in case you want to bring the boogeyman back. What? No, don't say it. What are you doing? Mate. Her mum and dad are jumping up and down OL Bianca Belair. I love the thing of just going, it is real, goddamn.
Yes.
This is that thing about going, yes, it's predetermined. Yes, there's characters. But this does matter.
Mm.
And it is an important moment. And for her mum and dad to be there It's great.
Well, we've seen them before in the clip where she'd won the one of the titles.
The Rumble, yeah. That's where they just jump it down. Again, they would be a bit afterwards where her husband, who is Montez Ford from the Street Profits, he does get to come to WrestleMania because he celebrates in the ring with her. They've referenced the fact that they are married a few times. Obviously, they're not making a huge deal of it. I think their dream really is to make Montez Ford big. And then they can have Montez Ford and Bianca Belair versus Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. Right. But Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch, especially, has been like, I don't overly like being put in that thing. I don't like that reality.
Right.
Sort of thing.
Okay,
we've got to hang out together and be annoying. Just her happy face. Mm. The happiest face, Bianca Belair, in WrestleMania history when it ends. And it's just a great moment. It is such a brilliant performance by the two of them. And those two last matches, I mean, they have made this all worthwhile. The Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley at the start, Bad Bunny, and then the main event.
Yeah.
Three corkers.
Yeah. It was so good.
Enjoyed that. Mm. One thing just at the end, Pete, that I had a look at. I had a look at the little extras that you get on the network.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was 6 minutes long, and it was described as video of Drew McIntyre cleaning out his drawers of career mementos.
Right.
So I was like, oh, okay, I'll have a watch of this.
Yeah.
I click on it. It's something, it's hard to tell whether they've asked him to do it or whether he's just sent it in. And it's a fixed camera on his desk. And it's the most melancholy video I've ever watched in my life. And he goes, he's wearing a I'm Pickle Rick t-shirt.
Right. What is this?
And he just, it's slightly inaudible. It's really quiet and he's really sad. And it's like it should have started.
Well, if you're reading this, you'll know that I'm no longer here, but here are the things I want to give to you each. And he goes through and he just goes, so I've been going through in lockdown the drawers with some of the mementos of my career before. Because coming up to WrestleMania, you got to think about how you got here.
And he opens the drawer and he goes,
this is the first wallet I had when I came to America. He says, let's have a lot of memories in here. He holds up a thing that says Shaq Pass. And he goes, that got me free entry to the Shaq nightclub in Glasgow. It burned down in 2004.
I knew where that helicopter came down, that flat roof pub.
He holds up. There's a signed copy of Oasis Is Whatever. It's a CD single that's been signed by Noel Gallagher. That's really good. Here's my...
Why is he doing this?
I don't know. There is no way that they could have said, can you go through your drawers? Why would he just go, what do you mean?
Yeah, what's the angle?
He must have come forward.
Here's my notebook from Florida Championship Wrestling. I didn't like the champion there. There's a star here. Now, this is off the wall of the Barrowlands Ballroom in Glasgow. I did an ICW show there. He doesn't mention it, but that's also where Bible John, the unidentified serial killer, picked up a number of his victims.
Oh,
he's
right.
Like, every band you can think of's played there. He sort of goes, Oasis.
No Oasis.
Northern Uproar. Fratelli's The Enemy. He does do, sort of goes Metallica, Justin Bieber, The Cult. It's like, what's going on?
With Haynes.
Yeah. He goes, this is a little photo album I made of all of the wrestling photos that I've taken over the years. He says, but I can only take you so far in because, you know, they get a bit rude. Here's a drawing of a Mr. Man I did as a kid. This is all real.
Where is the office?
This is just his like home office.
Right.
Nothing on the walls.
No.
And he just goes, yeah, so much stuff here. Yeah, just, you know, thinking about the journey. Why is this on television?
Will Mr. Tickle make a great wrestler?
Mr. Tickle, if you think you could
going a promo, Mr. Tickle.
I'm going to cheat your big long orange arms. I'm going to wrap them around your big old head.
I'm going to do what I did to Mr. Bump. His fucking interaction.
You're going to be no longer Mr. Tickle. You're going to be Mr. Fucked Up.
Woo!
Oh, that whiskey's kicked in.
Oh, dearie me.
Wonderful times. So look, that is the end of WrestleMania 37 Night 1. Coming up next week, WrestleMania 37 Night 2. And look, we got a Fiend match. So you know what that means? It's an entire episode about the fucking Fiend.
You want more Fiend? You're fucking getting it.
Right. So oh, look, in the meantime...
You do have to put on the red light.
In the meantime, get over, please, to our merch store.
Yeah.
Get over to the Patreon, where you can hear more and more. We've also, I mean, as we come to the very end of this, we'll be explaining what we're going to be doing on the Patreon going forward.
Yes.
Look, it's exciting change.
It's exciting change, thank
you. Exciting change. Imagine the possibilities.
Don't imagine. Imagine. Well, if you do imagine, email us. Sure, WrestleMania.com.
And we also do need a £5 postal order.
From each of you.
Regardless of whether you contact us or not. So look, hey, until next time, thanks for being with us. We do appreciate it. We love you. Yep. Wrestle me!
Go and buy a shirt, stackmerch.com.
Peace.
Wrestle Me is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.